You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Around the NFL Podcast. A room full of top 10 football insiders.
I mean, if the voice of God says it, then it must be true. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I got heroes. Greg Rosenthal. Mark Sessler, but that's not all. Let's take down this music and let's bring up this man's theme.
Whoa, he's got his own theme.
How about that? Who made this my theme?
He is a former NFL player. He is the co-founder and president of Status Pro. He is a Columbia alum. Are you kidding me? He is Andrew Hawkins. Welcome back to Around the NFL.
Hey, guys. Hawk. I'm happy to be here.
What do you think of your theme?
I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. Out the gate.
Why not? Strong.
It's strong. It gave me like Phil Collins vibes.
There you go. That's the song is called Sausage Fingers, and I like to use it as a test. Every guest that gets it has a different, usually visceral reaction to it. Some like it, some hate it. You dislike it.
I didn't dislike it.
Listen
it
to that wailing. Listen to that wailing, though.
They're going.
That's emotion.
I can't argue that. That's a. They're going to town. It's just not what I would have chosen to be right. My theme.
But well, something to work on for the next show.
There you
yeah,
go.
That's yeah. Good constructive criticism.
How are you, Hawk?
Appreciate that.
I'm good, man.
What is going on?
You know, life, football. My company, Status Pro, that you mentioned.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, by the way, because I was like, oh, you're doing like a virtual reality thing. There's a commercial out there where a guy's the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. He's like, oh, yeah, that's my company. That's my product. Like, deal with how omnipotent I am. but the NFL Pro Era product, what's the background on that?
Yeah. So it's the first ever NFL virtual reality football game. In it, you get to play as a quarterback of an NFL team. Right, like you get to play games, play a full season, favorite team, you're the quarterback, you have to make the throws, make the decisions, and it feels like you're on the field as an NFL player. Right?
Can Zach Wilson play this?
Zach Wilson could play. He could. He, I don't know how
could
good he would be.
But he wouldn't play as Zach. Is there like a Zach Wilson
if he's smart,
in the
he wouldn't.
Game?
A Zach Wilson mode, or you're saying like, is there a...
Where everybody boos you and doesn't like you? No. You're really bad?
No, anybody could play. That is the point. But also, so you could be the quarterback of the Jets. You're not technically Zach Wilson. You are Greg Rosenthal as the quarterback of the New York Jets.
So hopefully I'd have more accuracy. And yeah, the fans
well, that would
like me.
I could think of other traits you might need more of.
The Jets fans would love you, Greg.
Yeah. I worked with Hawk for years on Game Day View. It was really fun doing that show for years. But all along, like 3 or 4 years ago, he would remind me like, well, I have this, like, my real job is this company I'm building. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Cute.
Like, he's like, I'm doing all this other stuff. Not cute, but just, I didn't understand it. I'm building this other company, and it's going to, like, make a game. And, like, you've been doing that for how long? You started 10 years ago or something, and this commercial coming out, and I'm seeing it. Lamar Jackson is one of the endorsers, too. I'm like, damn, he really did it. He wasn't joking about that. That really was his real job all this time.
He wasn't BSing you the whole time. Right, that's good.
But not full of it. No, it was. It's been a long time coming. Me and my co-founder, Troy Jones, shout out to Status Pro TJ. We've been together doing this version of the company. We started, we connected in 2018 to kind of do this iteration. Originally connected way back when, and the whole idea was our experiences as football players. He also played Division I quarterback, and we're like, well, how do you give that to someone else? Everyone always asks, like, what is it like to play in the NFL? And I'm like, it's as cool as it looks. I was a fan first. I was a walk-on college football player. You know, my brother played in the NFL, but my whole life has been revolved around wanting to be on that side of it. And, you know, for me, it was like, well, how do I create something where the value is my own experience? I can tell you what it feels like to play in Cleveland, in, you know, Miami. I can tell you, for example, when you play in the Steelers in our game, in the third or fourth corner, Renegade plays, right? Like, late in the game, when it's a close game, they play Renegade, and then the Steelers fans go nuts because that was, like, the coolest thing as someone from Western Pennsylvania. When I played there, I would get chills when that would happen. So I put that in the game, right? And so that's how we've thought about it. This is just the first iteration of it. It's been successful so far, but there's so many things we plan to add, and that's what's exciting.
I'm like wicked old, and so like the first football game that I played on like Atari a million years ago.
Wicked
like,
old.
He's so old, he still uses the word wicked.
I here's my thing though. It's like you would dream about this kind of thing as a kid, and like Tecmo Bowl kind of got you there a little bit more from an arcade game experience, but like this kind of stuff, because way back when, like the first iteration of like Mike Tyson's Punch Out in arcade houses was like a much bigger deal than like the Nintendo version. You kind of felt like you were in the ring, and so when I watched this, it's like, it's the 12-year-old me would have fainted and melted and thought he was incredible. And like, I sent it to my kids, they felt the same way. But I would ask you this because, like, I think one thing about being a quarterback, like, maybe this is for a later version. Uh-huh. Like, you join a new team, and if you don't have the thing on the wristband, or even if you do, it's like you're in a huddle and you have to call a play with like 77 words. Like, is that like baked into it where like that part of it is maybe part of the challenge, like learning the verbiage?
Absolutely. So.
It's a weird question, but
that's
just
a great question,
something I thought about, though, because it's like,
honestly,
you know,
Mark,
according to his notes, he's got two more long questions.
No, I know. Like,
but
I
that's
just,
a good one,
I'm
because
intrigued.
That is like the level that you want to take the game to, right? So as it stands right now, you're in the huddle. The coach gives you the play. Now, we had to make a decision in this first version of it. Do you pick your own play, or does a coach give you
Sean
a play?
Sean McVay style.
And then you audible if you want to change it. And that's what it is, because that's a true experience of what it's like until you earn that trust. And so in our game, eventually you'll get to the point where you earn that, as well as you have to get that play out in the huddle. Now, technology prevents it to be completely voice activated where I have to literally read it, but that is coming. Like, that is what the headsets are developing for. And there's other ways to do that where we're prototyping now of, you have to get the play out in the huddle. You have to communicate this to your team. And it's trying to find all those different ways of all the things that quarterbacks have to consider in a game. Eventually we'll add other positions, right? And it's like, you'll get a really clear sense. Like right now when you go in there, you'll see how intense it is with the noise, with the having to, okay, with the receivers on this side, what was that play again? Where are the routes? Guys are coming to hit you. And it feels like they're really closing in on you. It's like, as much as we can convey that, we think that makes for a better experience, which is why our game is just different than probably anything you've ever played.
There you go, Mark. It's come a long way from playing Pong.
No, that's, you're not wrong with the reference there.
All right, so check that out. Check out the NFL Pro Era Hawks product. I assume we're all going to get one in the next coming days
coming.
Or whatever. So that's great too.
Merry Christmas.
If you missed the Monday Night Football recap with Greg Rosenthal and the great Jordan Rodriguez, the game maybe not so hot, but I'm sure the analysis was. Did you touch on Joe Buck's singing, by the way?
No, we didn't hit that.
That was a fun first quarter. 5 first downs, 4 punts, 3 interceptions, 2 successful challenges, no third down conversions, and a partridge in a...
Has anyone else noticed the primetime guys? And I think maybe it goes along with they're becoming bigger stars. They're getting paid more now.
Paid a lot.
That they're a little bit more open about, like, you know, crapping on bad games. And, you know, like they, it's almost like they can do that because they're coming from a position where they're making millions of dollars and they're not afraid of getting a slap on the wrist.
I appreciate it because I think there've been like a heavy dose of bad games in primetime with bad teams that are stuck in primetime, like the Colts 14 times in a row, it feels like. And I think it's a mixture of frustration, but like you can't pull one over on football fans anymore. Nah, so they kind of just being real about it. You know?
Have to be real. Yeah. Like you have to say what everybody's thinking because not only is it endearing to the people that are announcing it, but also the game itself. Like we know what we're watching. Like,
right.
But you feel this, right?
Yeah.
But finish the bit. Like I like the bit. And he lost confidence with it at the end.
Well, that was the bit, though, Greggy. Like, losing the confidence is very
unpopular. This is like the showman topic with Greg again. You know?
I mean, it's something I would do. I'm just saying.
I like the way he finished it. I thought that was a strategic move. No, you act like you're not
right,
trying.
Right. Thing, anybody with me?
Here's the thing, though. Al Michaels and Joe Buck, they really are annoyed. They really have been on worse games.
Right.
Because the Thursday night and the Monday night schedule just hasn't worked out the way that they wanted it. Like, they left that spot in Fox, and you got money, and the schedule's better. He's not doing baseball. I'm sure that's all great, but they're not like the Sunday afternoon games. That's a better job. Like, and it crosses my mind when he's doing this, and Troy and him are kind of complaining. I'm like, I wonder if they wish they were doing those Sunday games because Greg Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt have much better games every week.
And it's even more so the case for Al, who was doing Sunday night. Now he's doing Thursday. Perfect example, this upcoming Thursday on paper, Dallas at Tennessee. Great. But meanwhile, Tennessee does not matter what happens in that game. The Titans will either go to the playoffs as the AFC South champion or they won't based on the Week 18 game. It's, you know,
TNF off Week 17. There's too many examples of it not having meaning. I know that you disagree, Greg, but like that, this is exactly why
the entire with that money.
Well,
Mark?
But the Titans roster is not essentially not going to play.
Yeah.
So why do we need that? How is that good for us?
Play themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think?
Then it's all for money. Then like you know.
Yes.
Fine.
That is.
Well, that is a part of it.
I would doubt that. I'm not like some child, but I'm just saying like for the product is wanting, and I don't desire to watch
flex it.
So.
Maybe.
You know what?
Can't flex team in a TNF.
Flex on a TNF.
I think we got a good Sessler episode coming. I could tell.
What? No,
I like it.
You guys sit on your couch and watch from start to finish every second of Titans Cowboys and tell me how it goes, and I'll check in with you then.
Why
did I roll out of bed?
We will preview that game. We will also take kind of a look at the playoff bracket, kind of where things stand. Maybe we figure out what would be our ideal setup for the playoffs starting in a few weeks. But before that, Hawk, again, great to have you.
Glad to be here.
You ready to sit in on some news?
Let's do it.
Let's spin through the league.
It's about the relationships. It's about watching those guys out there excel and showing something special and making Broncos country proud. And that's what we want to do. And that's what I'm going to bring to the table. I want to create this environment where people want to come into this building and work and have fun doing it. But let's make no mistake. It's only fun when you win football games. So we got to win, and that's what we want to do.
Now, that is Greg Rosenthal, not a dunk on Nathaniel Hackett, but it is more a showing of how things change so quickly in the NFL. That was January's introductory press conference of Nathaniel Hackett, who came to the Broncos with much fun, fanfare. Nailed it. Russell Wilson gets here. You remember the famous Hackett quote? Oh my God, Russell Wilson. Everything felt so
He was so lovable.
Russell Wilson. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
And now he is, I believe, just the fifth coach to not last a year and get fired in his first year. Just a tough way for the Broncos to start with new ownership. But that's where it is right now. Let's get into what's going on with the Broncos because, yes, Hackett is out, and you guys talked about it a little bit on Monday, and they move forward now with Jerry Rosberg as the interim head coach. That feels like a tough gig. Andrew, I know you played in the league, and you've been through some tough situations with teams near the end of the season. What is Rosberg entering right now with 2 weeks to play?
that is not a situation I would wish on anybody, to be honest. It's tough because there's so much turmoil, but it's like at every layer. What you'll find is, and I don't know what the situation is in the locker room. I know there's been like conversations. Was it the coach? Is it the front office? Was it Russ? Right? Everyone kind of feels like it was Russ. But how the players respond this week will tell you if it was Nathaniel Hackett's problem. And Greg knows this take. Whenever players don't like a head coach, after they get fired, and that whenever the players feel like he was a problem, they play well the next game.
Post-fire bump.
Post-fire bump. So that'll tell us if it was truly Nathaniel Hackett in the first place.
What if suddenly Russell Wilson throws for, you know, 412 yards and four touchdowns?
Then that, honestly, it will tell you. Because that's what the Broncos had to make the decision on, right? It's like they bought a used car, and they got the used car, and they were excited about it. And it's starting to look like a lemon for some reason. And they spent money on a driver. Nathaniel Hackett was the driver. The car is Russell Wilson. And they're like, okay, we're going to keep the car. That means we got to go find a mechanic and probably tell this driver we're not going to pay him. We're going to pay that money to somebody who can fix Russell Wilson. So if he does bounce back, it probably does tell you that that's how he felt about Nathaniel Hackett and his offense.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to go well. They're in Kansas City this week.
Oh, so no, he's not bouncing back. be very clear. This game, he will not do those things.
Like they offered the job to Ejiro Evero, who's the defensive coordinator, who's done a nice job on balance until that Christmas game.
Right.
And they said they're going to interview Evero for the head coaching job, too, and that he'll be a quality candidate. I watched the press conference with ownership today, though. It doesn't fill me with confidence because they're keeping the GM, but the new coach is no longer going to report to the GM, and the GM is kind of going to help hire the coach, but when they talked about who the important people who were hiring it, they weren't really including the GM, but he's up on the dais, and that just – it all seems like a mess because there's – you've seen it with the Jets. This happens all the time where the coach and the GM aren't aligned. And the owner
– Condoleezza Rice is involved somehow.
Right. Like the owner – the first thing the owner did and the GM was hire Hackett. The owner wasn't there when Hackett was hired, but the owner was there when they gave Russell Wilson all that money. And people kind of forget they didn't need to give Russell Wilson all that money. He had 2 years left on his contract. They could have easily just said, let's look and see what he looks like.
Let's hear from George Payton, the GM, who apparently will be back, and what he said about Russell Wilson, who they still feel they could salvage. I mean, they have to feel that way.
You can go through the season that you do see flashes, and he'll be the first one to tell you he didn't play up to his standard, didn't play up to our standard. He needs to be better. I don't think we made a coaching move based on Russ. You know, that wasn't what it's all about. That's not why we're getting a new coach to turn around Russ. It's about the entire organization. It's about the entire football team. It's just not one player. It's not whether Russ is fixable or not. We do believe he is. We do.
These press conferences. I mean, you've been through it as a player, listening to this nonsense. We covered these and take the seven takeaways from these press conferences in written form on NFL.com for over a decade. There's a level of phoniness to some of them. Others come across and change your mind. This one, to me, is one of the bottom five I've ever heard.
Yikes.
Because you're trying to sell. The worst thing you could have done with here is to have the starting point say, we believe Russ is fixable. It is already the most tired offseason storyline out there. There's nothing about it, if you're watching him play, that's believable. It can't be the anchor that you use to try to convince the next coach. What are you going to sell the next coach on in this organization? And all I heard were just platitudes and utter nonsense. And you've got a major issue at quarterback. And I think the only way out of it is to find a way to go forward on the Denver Broncos without Russell Wilson as your quarterback. I know it's a financial disaster, but the idea that you're going to tell someone else they're going to have to go soul down the river if Russell Wilson plays this way for even three games to start next season, that's a disaster.
Did I tell you that we're going to get a good Mark Sessler in this show?
Well, I mean, does anyone disagree with that?
I think what you're, and I saw your tweet yesterday and I liked it, Mark, that yes, there is this reality that probably is not realistic in how football is run, where they just say, we're just going to take a bad beat on this one. We're going to find a way to offload Wilson, whatever it takes. We'll live in the darkness and then organically start over. But I just don't know if it's feasible, but also they don't want to admit defeat at that grand a level. So it makes sense to me that they will bring in a head coach that they believe will work well with them. Maybe they'll bring back Brian Schottenheimer and try to get the band back together a little bit. But I do think for a contract that's a long-term deal, it does feel like next year could be make or break for Wilson, because there's no way you'd be able to look any other way after 2 years of this, let alone one has been difficult enough.
Make or break in a sense of like where does he go from here?
Or they would cut him. I think they could cut him now.
Personally. I mean, they could. I think that would hurt. And there's also for Russell Wilson, if he comes again next year and he plays that same way, then I think people are already there, but you can truly stamp it being, okay, this is the end like of a career that was obviously as high as people talking about first ballot Hall of Famer at one point. This year really hurt him. And next year, if that happens again, it's like, okay, then now it's solidified. But from Russ's standpoint, isn't that a win? Like, if he is not the same player and he was able to get this contract on the 2 years where he is not the version for him, like, I don't think he would view it that way. And it's also very hard for ownership, especially new ownership, to come in and understand all these things, because you guys are exactly right when you talk about the GM-head coach relationship. You let go of the head coach. Now the GM is not a part of the hire. Does he feel secure? If it doesn't happen again, what happens? The head coach says, we got to get rid of the GM. My players aren't there. And it's just a cycle. And for new owners, this is going to be a lot for the Broncos to navigate. So whether they cut Russ now and they live in the dark or they do it later, that's just going to be a part of the process, and they got to buckle up because this is the ride that we're in.
I'll ask you this, though, because like one of the reasons that I think Hackett was dismissed before the end of the season was that even in that Rams game, but we've seen iterations of it week after week where the sideline antics, the infighting, you got defensive players jawing at offensive players, and sometimes with Hackett in the background just standing there kind of like deer in headlights, not taking control like Bill Parcells would. How are players going to view the idea of Russell Wilson reclamation project? You got to be on text threads going crazy with each other if you think that's the only thing you're hoisting the ship onto at this point.
Typically, when you see stuff like that, it's symptoms of a deeper rooted problem, right? And some of that can stem from, hey, we don't believe in our quarterback. He's not playing well. We don't think he gives us the best chance to win. But also, their O-line is not very good, right? And there's other things at this team that you have to fix and understand that, to your point, behind the curtain, you do realize that, okay, this head coach doesn't have control. And you can have control a bunch of ways. It doesn't have to be the Parcells, Belichick angle. You can get that through respect. You can get that because you have such a deep knowledge of the game and understanding of people and players and what everybody's goals and wants are. But I do think that for what we're seeing, it is probably a lot deeper than what you just see in the locker room. Right. I do think it's like a whole organizational thing at this moment that they gotta figure out, because this is quite a few quarterbacks, quite a few head coaches you've gone through. And I haven't heard people talk about even John Elway of it all. Like, I'm kind of curious of, like, how does he skate free and blame in these situations? I understand they say, oh, these are GM decisions.
He's just got some, like, ceremonial job, and they're just kind of, like, letting him.
He's hanging out at his John Elway car dealership.
Collect the paycheck. But, yes, you were on a team with Johnny Manziel, so you know what it's like to have a quarterback that maybe not everyone fully believes in.
Yeah, and it's how the decisions are made, right? Like, I remember the year 2014. I got a call from the head coach. Hey, we're thinking about benching Hoyer, starting Johnny. We were like 7-4, 7-5 or something, ahead in the division.
Mark's
favorite laughing.
Browns team, yeah.
I thought it was a joke. I thought he was calling to be funny. This is a rapport builder with my receiver. Let's have a good laugh and go into the week strong.
Weird bit, coach, but okay.
Yeah. It was like, okay, not the angle I would have taken. So I laughed, and it wasn't a joke. And I'm like, I think that would be a bad idea. Not because I don't like Johnny. I don't think Johnny was talented. He wasn't there yet as a player. I'm with him in the meetings. He understood what was going on in his life. And for a whole locker room that is pushing towards a goal, we are overachieving for what anybody believed, these kind of decisions will take it all. And that's essentially what happened, right? They moved on with Johnny, and we didn't win a single game. And I think that might have been even the best season.
I remember that season. That
the
was
Browns
a,
have had since.
It's a painful fade.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk. And other QB news, unfortunate QB news, the Dolphins – head coach Mike McDaniel announced that Tua Tagovailoa is in concussion protocol connected to Saturday's loss to the Packers. Tua, of course, threw three interceptions in the last three possessions for Miami. And now he's back in concussion protocol. We understood what happened earlier in the season with the Cincinnati game, and he missed several weeks after that and the game before that when it appeared that he had suffered a head injury, but he played on anyway. So obviously this is an ongoing situation for Tua here, Mark. And now with the Patriots up next and the Jets after that and Miami on a four-game losing streak, it's all kind of, ooh, it's a nasty stew for Miami. We'll see where this situation goes.
Yeah, I mean, we found this out after we reviewed the Dolphins game on our show yesterday. And, I mean, for me, a little bit, you know, there the video evidence out there looks like it possibly or probably came on that late first half hit that he took where his head bounced off the ground. And then he's in the second half after, you know, I think what his first five passes accounted for like 190 yards and they looked like the Dolphins were used to. He was like 7 for 13 for 81 yards with three rather mystifying interceptions. And he went through verbally case by case and explained while they happened. One thing that stuck out to me was he said that he thought that he maybe even just got the play wrong on the second interception. But regardless, it's just like maybe that certainly to me could explain while his performance fell off a cliff. But I don't know. I guess, like, you know, people can't say there's no reason he should play again all year. I mean, these are individual cases. I could see that as being a strong argument that we're not going to see Tua again this year. And you've got Teddy Bridgewater, and the Dolphins season in the course of a fortnight went from problematic to highly problematic.
Yeah, it's sad. They haven't confirmed that he had a concussion, so we'll find out that
symptoms.
He had symptoms and he was in the protocol. I think it was underplayed back when he had that injury, when he had the concussion earlier in the season that got so much attention, that he spoke publicly that, like, people in his family were talking about, like, should you continue playing football? That sort of, like, just went through, and he was back on the field and playing great again, and that wasn't, like, a big story. But at the time, I was thinking, like, oh, wow, that's interesting that he was open about that publicly, that he was already thinking about should you continue playing football, and then now this comes. It's worrisome.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, obviously, I've gone through concussions, and the thing about football players that, you know, in the context of the story you just told, the family watches, and they're more, like, worried than the actual player, right? Because you are taught to be a warrior. That is what football is. It's a, you know, hard-hitting game, and we all understand how this works. And to your point about multiple concussions in a season, I had a season where I had multiple concussions and I ended up going on the IR. And that time allowed me to really heal. But as a player, like, for Tua's mindset of how he's looking at this, this is probably Tua's best year, right? Like, yep. Overall, from a lot of – everyone talks about him differently.
For sure.
Even in the context of who would want to come in the Broncos and coach Russell Wilson. That was the same conversation we were having last year about the Dolphins. And so wanting to come back, wanting to play, wanting to compete, wanting to continue to show people that, hey, I am the quarterback that I thought early on, and not wanting to lose that momentum. I understand, because players, you know, they're warriors in that way, and they do want to come back and they do want to achieve. So
It's crazy, this team. Like, they could – I feel like anything's possible with this team now. I could see Teddy Bridgewater playing great.
Yeah.
And them – cooking the Patriots and then making the playoffs anyways. He had some moments when they played the Vikings earlier this season.
But then he got hurt too.
But, like, you could also see, like, a worst case scenario where they lose here. This is the same owner that tried to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady on a boat like a year ago. We sure nothing crazy is going to happen.
Whoa, Greggy.
Here. Greggy. I'm just saying, your boy's coaching him, Mike McDaniel, who you always talked him up when he was – kind of an unknown NFL figure as the smartest coach you ever known, and now he's in the spotlight. I can't imagine they would ever do anything there, but I'm talking about sort of Tua's future and this team's future. I don't know. If you lose six straight at the end of the season, I'd include the Jets in this too. I'd include the Patriots.
Anything's on the table.
Things tend to blow up that you didn't see coming 5 or 6
weeks.
But
I don't view
before.
This as a I get the Sean Payton thing, just like wandering now. I'm going to go get Sean Payton no matter what happens here. But Mike McDaniel would get a head coaching job in 4 seconds if he ever left Miami.
Absolutely. I think Mike came in with such a, you know, unassuming expectations. Like, I don't think people expected much out of him. He went into a very tough situation, right? Like, of what the offseason conversation was around the Dolphins, and he's able to turn it around. He doesn't look like your prototypical head coach. He doesn't talk like it. He doesn't act like it. But players respond, and I think they played above what people expected them to. Now, quarterback being hurt, quarterback having those issues, that's tough for any coach who is going through that. So I can't imagine, like, I don't think it would make sense for the Dolphins to say, okay, well, let me go try to go get this shiny object. And to your point, Mark, if so, I think Mike McDaniel will walk right
insane.
Into another
cop.
He's
how do you know it would work so well with him, though?
Because you have to be good at something, right? Like, we talked about Parcells, Belichick, all these people, like, it all looks different than what Mike McDaniel looks like. But being around him, I'm not kidding, he is an X and O savant. And I've been around, I think I did the math, maybe 10 or 11 head coaches like that in my career that end up being head coaches or were head coaches at one point. And by far, coordinators between Shanahan and McDaniel, McDaniel was one of those guys that, again, it was quirky. The way he thought about it was completely different than anything I'd heard, but it all made sense and it always worked. And so I'm like, yeah, maybe he's not the rah-rah guy. Maybe he doesn't speak a certain way. Maybe it's not what we're used to seeing. But ultimately, players want to win and players want to do well and maximize their opportunity and make the most money they can. And he was always great at putting them in that position. So guys will respond if I know, no matter what, you have the answers to the test. And he does that in a really big way.
Big test now in the next 2 weeks for the Dolphins. Four straight losses. Let's take a break, and then we'll finish the rest of the news.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. JJ Watt, it's over. Pull the tweet up there. Drew behind the glass, 8'7", doesn't say a word.
JJ doesn't Watt. Need to.
No, he carries a big stick. Koa's first ever NFL game. It's a photo of J.J. Watt with his wife and his beautiful child. My last ever NFL home game. My heart is filled with nothing but love and gratitude. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure. Sounds like, looks like a retirement tweet. And then the people followed up. And yes, indeed, J.J. Watt will walk away from the game after this season. He is obviously a Hall of Fame player, three-time Defensive Player of the Year. One of the great players in the ATN era, I'm going to say. One of the best, most dominant players. He's going to Canton, Greggy. People won't really remember the end of the run in Arizona, but those Houston years were some of the most dominating years you've ever seen from any defensive player.
Yeah, 2012, or what was it? 2012
was the big
through,
one.
Through 2014, to 2015, rather. 2014 was the year he got MVP votes, even though he was on like a mediocre Texans team, and he was a defensive player. It was maybe the greatest season I've ever seen out of a defensive player. He had more pressures in that season than any players ever had pressures. And I do think about our podcast because that is when we started, and I think he was at that peak the best defensive player I've ever seen. Like I've only covered it game like this is 20 years, but in that 20 years, to me, for those 3 years, he was better than anyone else because he was 295 pounds and 6'6", but he won with speed, like in moves. It really wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to play inside and power. Like he was beating tackles on the edges in those years, and it just didn't make any sense as a 300-pound guy. He was kind of one of one that way.
One of the earliest J.J. Watt moments where I think he became a household name, obviously, was against the Bengals in that wild card game that they put at like 6 in the morning because it was like low ratings, just get this thing over with on a Saturday. But he picked 6, Andy Dalton, and I'll never forget, because we had Chris Wessling, the Bengals fan, who, like, you know, was zoned in on the Bengals, not a Bengals fan. He had reasons to dislike them. And that really was the opening moment that I think made Andy Dalton the Dalton scale obvious, like, character. Because it was like, get to the playoffs, do adjust enough and then have a moment where someone else becomes a star because of one of your errors.
And we had,
you were in that game.
I was there.
I've seen that.
I've seen a lot of big J.J. Watt plays up close and personal.
You've been like feet away from him, and he's
He was good. He was huge, too. That was always the biggest takeaway when I played against J.J. Watt.
Slam into you when you're just like...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's like one of those dudes you bump into, he doesn't notice, and you're like, golly. And he just keeps doing what he does. I remember that pick six. That sucked. And then also, 2014, we played him at the Browns. It was just crazy to watch him. You know, again, nobody could block the dude. He was too fast. He was too big. He was too quick. He was too everything.
Did he get a touchdown?
And then
game?
He goes to play offense and has the touchdown catch. And it's like, okay, what are we doing here?
Right? And he was very amped up against the Cleveland crowd that day. I thought he just was sort of shoving it in people's face. Like that
was what he did.
Sorry, Dan. We're just traveling down a different road.
No, it's great. Yeah. I mean, he's an interesting figure. I mean, he's... God, we had some fun with him on the show just because sometimes he felt a little disingenuous about the way he went about things. I'll always remember covering the Hard Knocks season where he, you know, there was a whole montage of him after practice, sun went down and all of a sudden the lights were up and he was practicing alone on the field, like throwing a tire, you know, 100 yards. And it was just like, is this real or is this like J.J. Watt image
the
maintenance?
Superhero.
But to his credit, sometimes, yeah, you didn't know what to make of him from a personality standpoint. But like the Hurricane Harvey stuff where it was one of the largest crowdsourced fundraisers ever that he spearheaded personally was like a big, you know, showing of like what he's really about. And he's always been very good with the fans. So sometimes he felt a little corny. But you can't deny how great he was. And he's one of the more memorable guys, certainly, of his generation.
Well, we also got a wrist slap once for talking about his clothing line he had years ago.
Really? What is that about?
We got in trouble with some people that are no longer at the company. But it will always be part of our lore. It had nothing to do with
J.J. Watt.
A little
more than a wrist slap. and there was... It might have been a meeting where the transcriptions of a certain podcast segment were printed out and read aloud to us. And then like waved in our face like a puppy that had just wetted the carpet.
I have a note in my personnel file based off that incident. And the transcription has me basically quiet for most of it, other than basically saying that men's fashion needs rescuing. I didn't say a single thing about why.
I just figured the statute of limitations are up now. We can discuss this publicly. It had nothing to do with JJ personally. He also, by the way, was played well. I did the top free agents list is coming out next
Where
week.
Where was he going to be?
He was going to be in the top, like, 25. He was balling out right now.
Yeah, he was playing really well.
He's got 9.5 sacks this year. He's still a disruptor. Not at that same level. Injuries took a toll. But he will be going to the Hall of Fame in 5 years, no doubt. In other news, Mike White is back in for the Jets. He was cleared by doctors. He has those multiple broken ribs, it is believed. But after missing 2 weeks, he'll return. And just to give you an idea of how far Zach Wilson has fallen out of favor, not just with the fans, but also the organization. He'll be once again made inactive. So he's completely out of the mix. I talked about it with my dad, Keith, on the podcast on Thursday that I think that was the end of the Zach Wilson era in New York. I think they will probably aggressively attempt to move him in the offseason and just start over at the position. But you also have to keep in the mind the possibility that Mike White has an opportunity here. The way things broke for the Jets after Thursday, now they just got to win two, one Patriots loss, and they're in the playoffs. That's all feasible starting with a game against Seattle. And White makes – I think the thing, Mark, about White and Zach Wilson especially – Wilson's struggles were so vast that I really did think it was affecting both sides of the ball and pulling down the team's confidence, and taking him out of the mix really fills me with some confidence ahead of the season.
Yeah, we talked about these teams where like the defensive side is like, can you just do like the bare minimum and we'll handle the rest. That's been the Jets. And like, I you know, the Zach Wilson experience, and you've been around a lot of, you know, up and down quarterbacks, but like, you've got to be that guy behind the scenes. And we don't have that experience with Zach Wilson, except it bled through to us. You could see that he wasn't. And I think that Mike White, playing through, getting brutalized a couple weeks ago, he wanted to get back in there no matter what. He's playing through obvious pain. Like, that's how you win everyone over. I mean, he is sort of a old-school quarterback to me. And I think he's on a true audition for a legit shot to be the starter next year, depending on what else they go do.
He's going to get paid, too. He's a free agent. If he plays well, I'm just happy he's back, because to me, them ending the season out with Flacco or Wilson, dark. He'd been one of the stories of the season, and now they get a proper ending. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs or not. I kind of have a sneaky feeling they are going to be the team that gets in.
I hope so.
I feel good. I feel like it's a really good matchup for him against Seattle.
I think Seattle right now is like a bottom five team, unfortunately, or bottom eight team.
I mean, these other AFC.
I mean, they haven't won in a month. I'm not totally out of.
Geno revenge game. You're not buying
that,
into that.
That I would love if Tyler Lockett comes back. Geno's still the best part of their team. Is the passing game, but even that's kind of come underwater.
Stick a pin in that. We'll get to that on the Thursday preview. Real quick, Josh Norman joins the Panthers. J.C. Horn, what is going on with Horn right now?
Wrist surgery today. Maybe as we do this show right now.
The incision can be being made in this exact moment.
It's a little late. It's almost 4
o'clock.
Reminds
me of when the Seahawks signed Marshawn Lynch late in the season, like 2018, I think.
That did happen, didn't it?
16, like the last time that Marshawn Lynch ever played. This is what it's like, but it's kind of cool. I like Josh Norman's back. We were just doing a Super Bowl broadcast on Sky Sports with Josh Norman a couple of years ago.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a little aloof. Ravens, Bengals flex to Sunday Night Football. And finally, the NFL may fine Mac Jones for a block, a low hit on Eli Apple during a return by Cincinnati defense that was. Turned out it was not a play because it was ruled, I believe, an incomplete pass. But do we have can we take a look at this? Like the play by Mac where he's running in a sprint and he just kind of cuts out Apple from below. And it's not the first time that Mac Jones has been accused of doing some things that weren't, above board, put it that way. Jones answered to questions on WEEI about his quote-unquote dirty play.
Yeah, I think obviously, I went down in front of him to kind of get in the way to stop him from slowing down Tyquan, who obviously could make the tackle there. So just kind of went down in front of him and trying to stop a fast guy from getting to another fast guy. So just split-second decision, and there's a lot that goes into it. You're out there trying to compete, and it's a physical game. So just trying to help the team win, and I have all the respect for Eli and the Bengals. They played a great game, so there's no hard feelings, and definitely no intention to hurt anybody on that play, nor do I believe that when I'm playing quarterback, that's what, I get hit a lot too. So we're all out there playing playing hard, and that's just part of the game.
Hawk, you buy as a man who played the game. Was that dirty? Is Mac Jones dirty? What's your take on this?
That was absolutely a dirty play, which, maybe I'm not the guy to ask because I don't hate it. It was dirty. And maybe in his mind, he really does think he's doing the right thing. Like, oh, this is me being a competitor. This is me showing that I'll do anything to win. And some people think that that's a good thing. I've played with players like that.
Little try-hard guy.
It's absolutely dirty.
He couldn't have been more polite to Chandler Jones, and people weren't thrilled with that either. So you can't
but
really win.
Here's the thing. He's had a lot of these types of moments. To me, it's all of a piece. It's not all just like diving that guy's knees, although there's been a few of those too. It's just like you can almost tell he's that guy that, like, I think gets so – in a froth, and I know, look, that's a lot of NFL players in different ways, but I think he just sort of loses himself when he's on the field, and he's very competitive, and that's probably helped him get to where he is on some level. But
I like
he makes it hard to root for him sometimes because this is not watching every one of his games. This is not the first time stuff like this.
I like
pops
the
up.
Idea of Mac Jones being the Ty Cobb of his generation in the NFL, just like cleats up, like just like looking to hurt people.
Quarterback Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little bit of telling on yourself. I thought at the end though, and he's like, "Listen, people hurt me."
Exactly.
He's like, it's my chance to dole out some punishment. Whatever. I don't know. It's been a tough year. For that man. All right, that's what's happening in the news. All right, before we get to the TNF preview, you gotta want to figure out what's the best playoff bracket? Like what would be a perfect setup going into January? Mark, I know you've been Greg, I know you have your data, your algorithms. I don't know if you know this, Hawk. I know you worked with Greg previously.
We didn't get data analytic Greg on our show.
It's unbelievable his ability to crunch numbers in real time and spit out data points. What is it, Greg, to you that when the data is inserted into your hard drive that you're spitting out is the best possible playoff situation?
Just in terms of my happiness.
We're not interested in that.
Are you talking most likely? Are you talking what I want?
Yes.
I mean, I do want Geno Smith to make it happen, but I don't believe it'll happen. Mm. And so then you look at the NFC playoff picture.
All right, we'll start with the NFC.
Okay, I think getting those Eastern teams, the Giants and Washington, out would be beautiful. And then you get two of the following three in, Seattle, Detroit, or Green Bay. Now, I personally like Seattle and Detroit. The problem is the Giants, their magic number is essentially one at this point. They're at a point, because everyone lost last week, that they're almost certainly going to get in, even if they don't win a game, and they're favored this week. To win, who do they play this week? The Giants. They have an easy home game this week.
The Colts.
The Colts, where they're pretty big favorites. But I could see the Giants blowing that. So they're probably in. Any of those final three.
Nick Foles
are great,
isn't beating anybody, by the way.
But I want the Week 18 Detroit
like
Green Bay
nobody.
Game. Detroit Green Bay winning in scenario, Week 18, that being the Sunday night football game. All that needs to happen is Detroit needs to win this week. Green Bay needs to win, which is tough, against Minnesota. And then Seattle and Washington both lose this week.
Listen to that brain work.
Then it's essentially an early playoff game. Detroit, Green Bay, Lambeau as
very
your
nice.
Season finale. That's a perfect Sunday night.
That is.
Very nice.
I like that matchup.
Yeah. What about you, Marcus? I agree. Like, I want the team of ATN, the Detroit Lions, to make this. I am shaken. I didn't get a chance to watch the game till yesterday. My God, what the hell happened to Aaron Glenn's defense in Charlotte? Well, what was that?
It happens.
That actually pivots into what I want.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
This is what I want. I want the Carolina Panthers to usurp the hideously boring to watch Bucks.
Agreed.
I don't care about that situation. When you get the Panthers have no showed in a couple of these games. Like, you go to that Bengals game, and it was the Bengals, but like they ran for like 34 yards. But then there have been these flip flop weeks where they did what they did last week, where they were on pace for even more than 320 yards in that game. And when you get that version of Carolina, I think you could cause absolute and total chaos early on in the playoffs if you get a defense that can't handle the run. And I just want to see it maybe happen. And then you get Sam Darnold winning a playoff game where he throws for 64 yards
probably
and they rush for 280.
The winner of the NFC South,
that,
probably
to me,
against the Cowboys.
That would be chaotic. And Steve Wilkes would get a head coaching job out of
anybody
it.
Anybody see with how much confidence Sam was playing with?
He played well last week. Yeah.
Well, it helps if you're going to run for 320
yards.
Yeah, but
he was throwing the ball well, and he was running
good.
The read option. I'm feeling Sam right now.
Yeah.
How about this, Hawk? Is there a reality in the NFC, and it seems like this side of the table feels this way, where the playoffs would be better without Tom Brady involved? Are we there yet?
Oh, man, this year? Yeah, probably. I felt that way for a long time. I'm a big Tom fan, but you know, the seasons get old. It's like watching a TV show. Like, it's right. At some point we need new villains, we need new heroes. So I think it would make sense. I dark horse Saints, Andy Dalton playoff in, and him get his win with the Saints, his playoff win.
I would like that for chaos, because Saints fans would
chaos.
Hate it. There's actually an article that just came out minutes ago from Mike Florio speculating that Sean Payton and Tom Brady could maybe get together in New Orleans.
Ah.
And I want that to be as uncomfortable as possible. I want them to have to get rid of Dennis Allen, Sean Payton's old assistant, even after he makes the playoffs. And poor Andy Dalton, your guy, who you always said was beloved by his teammates.
Great
and
dude,
got
man.
You paid. Got He's... a lot of people paid. And so you are a big Dalton guy.
I changed my name to Andy. My original name was Marcus. He got me paid in.
Because of him.
I legally started going by Andrew.
That is a factoid.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to think. And if the Vikings, because we know the Vikings are going to play.
This source, by the way.
What?
Just the fact that, let's be real, these sources are close to Sean Payton. They're putting out there strong that he might be going back to New Orleans. Maybe he sees what's going on in L.A. He was trying to take Brandon Staley's job. That's
right.
Not going to work now. Nope. They're making.
He doesn't want to go to Denver. That's a mess.
No. Sean Payton, Tom Brady.
So just go back to New Orleans, where they'll pay you a lot of money and you know everyone. It's not a bad idea.
That has Jimmy Johnson, Dan Marino vibes written all over to me.
Could.
I don't like the idea of latching on to Tom Brady as the Saints coach right now.
He also sees the Cowboys on pace for 12 or 13 wins, and he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that job either.
No, that's not happening.
Huh. Vikings have the 2 seed right now. I'm trying to think who the Vikings are going to play, a barn burner, whoever they play against. So a Vikings Lions matchup would be saucy.
Or Vikings with a suddenly plugged in Aaron Rodgers. Like, I know I'm pretty anti-Packers, but something about what's going on with that team right now, if they snuck into a seventh seed and they have to deal with the Vikings, who they know very well, or whoever, like,
but they'd have to beat the Vikings probably to get there. And now we'll have seen that matchup. So I like that. I like where you're going. That would be Packers, maybe 49ers. Then you hit Minnesota down to the three. The problem is whoever's playing the Giants, that's a bad game. Minnesota Giants is a very underwhelming
Well, it was a good game this past week.
I know, but do we need that twice as like a playoff game? I want to knock
those teams out. I don't know if you know this, Hawk. Greg, born and raised Patriot fan. He thinks about 42 and 46 all the time.
No, this is not.
All the time.
I just want to see the most entertaining teams that are going to be left. Giants, Vikings.
I'm loyal to football.
Let's see. On the AFC side, it's pretty – I mean, right now we have Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, 1-2-3. It's very unclear who's going to take that bye, but there's a Bills-Bengals game coming up, which is spicy.
That is spicy.
What do you like for the what are the teams that are kind of on the fringe here, and Hawk, that you like?
This is going to sound like sacrilegious as a Bengals and Browns fan. I am both, one of the very few in the country. but I like the idea of Tomlin being able to take this team and get them in, because I think he's a very underrated coach, and he's never had a losing season, and this year was like, there's no way you'll get in the playoffs this year because your team is not good. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have this. So there's something from just a football perspective that excites me about that.
Greg, what's the path for the Steelers to the postseason?
It's very
tabulate
hard.
It, baby.
It's crazy because you think of like the Jets and Steelers have had such different seasons, but now they just have the same record. They are equal, and yet they're not equal because Steelers lose every tiebreak possible. They're 11th, so they need that finished basically with a better record than everyone. So they need to win their two games. They need the Patriots and the Jets and possibly the Titans too. The Titans actually could get a wild card in a weird scenario. It's not going to happen.
Really?
They need them all to lose.
How is that possible? Because we figured out before the show that wasn't, I thought. The Tennessee can get a wild card? I feel like it's really essentially win the division or check you later.
I think they would basically need everyone to lose and finish with an 8-9 record. It depends who they would be tied with, yes. But that'll all be gone this weekend anyways. Mm-hmm. They also need Miami to lose two straight. It's kind of simple. They just need to have a better record than everyone, which isn't that crazy. They're just one behind Miami and tied with everyone else. But they need a lot of help. They have a 3% chance, according to 538, because of all the help that they need.
3%?
Yeah, they're basically done because they need all this stuff to happen. Miami and New England are playing each other, so one of those teams is going to win this week. Then they need the Jets and Miami. Like, they need the Jets to lose this week and then the Jets to beat Miami next week. It's a lot that they would need to happen.
What about you, Mark? When you're looking at spicy
so I,
in the
I went through all this, and like, here's what I'd like to see. The Jets sneak in as the 7.
Yeah, buddy.
All right? And they probably wind up playing. In this world, I have them playing, like, I have the Bills as the second seed. So you get a Bills-Jets. They said it. Sala said it's going to happen, so just give it to him. Mm. And let's see what happens there with Mike White playing. But then I want this other matchup to happen. I'm not into the Ravens right now, but I think they're going to get in. But Jaguars, Chargers.
They're clinched. They're already in.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want them in the playoffs, but I can't win that battle.
Right.
So I have them playing the Chiefs. And go do something if you want my belief back. But then I have Jaguars, Chargers.
Mm.
I like
the idea of,
the Jags
of
are
Herbert
so hot right now.
Versus Lawrence. That is a spicy matchup. That to me would be. Also, want new faces. You want Brady out of here. That's new faces.
I said this with Andrew Siciliano on NFL Now. I think there's a berserker here in the AFC playoff picture. This thing's not going to go chalk. This year has been too weird. The Chargers or the Jags strike me. Is either of those teams. I could see them getting hot and all of a sudden be playing an AFC title game.
Yeah, because a berserker can't be a team that we've seen like the Ravens in the playoffs. 27 years in a row. It's got to be got a fresh face. An element of surprise.
Herbert being in the playoffs makes the playoffs much spicier.
Yes.
We need Jacksonville to beat Tennessee. I was wrong. I don't know if we want to take it out
thanks.
Of the show. You're right. Tennessee cannot be the wild card. I was thinking,
keep that in the show.
Keep it in.
I was thinking Jacksonville could be the wild card still.
Jacksonville can.
If everyone else
that's
lost.
Correct,
and
Greg.
Then they lost to the Titans. Mm-hmm. But they would need Miami to lose out. Everyone needs Miami to lose out. I kind of want Teddy Bridgewater, if he's going to be playing.
You're a big Teddy fan.
I don't know if I can
knock
do this.
Out. Here's the thing.
Why is this back in our life?
I don't know.
The Patriots and the Bucks. two teams in theory I would like and I have liked, they need to be put out. They're teams that need to be put out of their misery. They're miserable. They're like begging to be put out of their misery. And it needs to happen. And so I think this Miami team's like been a huge part of this season. I'd like to at least have it be Miami Jets decides that last spot.
Right. Both and then I'm like, oh, yeah, flex it into primetime. I was like, no, do not put the Jets in primetime under any circumstance.
Well, they already solved that. They're doomed. They solved that.
It's possible. If they're winning in, that could be could be the primetime game.
This is going to be exciting in the AFC, just from the quarterbacks alone. Like, that's why this is very, you know, blue sky, but I would love for Miami to get into it a play. Because when you look at Tua, Lamar, Herbert, Mahomes,
Allen, Burrow. There's no bad matchup. Right. That is kind of incredible.
That's weeks from now. That's possible.
Yes.
If you're Tua, if he's healthy, it needs to be. But
let's do it. Let's have some fun.
I'm sure it's
going to
go just how we hope.
Buffalo needs to beat this, win this Bengals game to keep that one seed, or else Kansas City, who has two pretty easy games, probably gets into it.
Hey, Gravedigger, I hate to put you on the spot here, but our forked teams, do you have them hand by any chance?
Give me like 30, just like...
Let's take a break, and when we come back from break, you'll give us the teams that we forked, which Hawk means a few weeks back we deemed certain teams had no chance of making the playoffs, and if we get them wrong, Greg gives to a charity. I got a feeling we're in danger with multiple teams.
Multiple teams.
Yeah, all right.
We know who they are.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Oh, well, we're still taking a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. As promised, if you're just joining us, Hawk is here.
Hey, everybody.
Which would be weird because this is a podcast. Justin, what are the teams that we forked about a month plus?
All right, we are looking at the Packers, Cardinals.
Wait, slow down. Packers were in a little bit of trouble. Cards were safe.
Everyone's kind of saying, like, okay, the Packers are back, this and that. They still have a game against the Vikings, who are in every game at the very least, and a game against the Lions, the team of ATL that we believe in. So I think that's still a very tough road to get
tough
in.
Tough road, but also not, like, deadly
It's
either.
Not impossible.
The Lions are the official team of the ATL.
Of our team. Yeah. This year, yeah. We pick
we
a
believe
different
in the
team
Lions. We love the Lions.
The Packers have also spoiled a lock for me, like, three or four times this year, so...
Zero factor.
They're going to keep spoiling stuff for people, is my point.
Hang in there, buddy.
Cardinals, they're probably done. Jaguars.
Well, they are.
Yikes.
The Jaguars is dangerous. We're in a lot of trouble with the Jags. Greg, I'd start looking into some Duval food banks right now.
They're in at this point. I mean, the Titans have just gagged this away, losing five straight since Mark
Greg,
joined the bandwagon.
Help that woman with the lake or the seaside house that our friend from the Jacksonville fan community.
That's a deep cut. What else?
Steelers.
That's amazing. Oh,
3%. 3%.
Yeah, we're all right.
This is why we forked the fork segment for like 4 years.
You have to give 3% of your income to that if you
when
get
did
that.
It become just me? Oh, yeah, you guys are cheap.
What else?
Colts, safe.
Colts, super safe.
Super safe. Feeling good about that one.
Safe.
Feeling good about that one.
Yeah. Browns with Nick Shook on that Sunday night. Pretty
Shook,
safe.
Shook
they've been
the
eliminated.
They're gone.
They're gone.
And finally, the Panthers.
Oh my God. This is officially the worst year we've ever
done.
Well,
we can each give to one of these charities when all three of these.
The best part is like how confident we were in the moment for many of these teams.
The Packers, in fairness to you, you were not confident in the
moment. I know. I tried to take it back, but it was too late. We'll see. All right. Before we say goodbye, let's hit the TNF preview. And this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. Gravedigger, stay with us here because as we established earlier, this game means nothing for the Titans in the standings. They can't be the wild card. They can win the division, but they can't win the division unless they beat the Jaguars next week. But they've also lost five in a row.
Right.
So that's when it becomes the discussion. Do you try to start your guys and try to get off the schneid ahead of that huge game, or do you rest guys? It's kind of a weird, somewhat depressing subplot to track ahead of this game.
Yeah, we saw something slightly similar in the 2019 season. The Titans had a Week 16 back when there were only 17 weeks. Week 16 game against the Saints, and Derrick Henry was kind of questionable to play, and they sat him for that game. Titans barely lost, but it didn't matter for the standings. Mm. He was back for the season finale, and then he had that huge playoff run where he ran all over the Patriots and the Ravens. This year, I kind of expect something similar. DeNico Autry, Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, Christian Fulton, Derrick Henry, Amani Hooker, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Ryan Tannehill, Jeffrey Simmons. These are all starters who are not practicing this week. I'd be pretty surprised if they played. This is basically a preseason game for the Titans in terms of how much it matters. Oof.
We should not have Al Michaels doing this game if
that's
what this is going to happen.
I couldn't agree
more. We got to keep Al in Malibu. Send him to Moon Shadows.
Yeah,
get a cocktail in them.
I mean, even if they tried, they were trying their best to beat the one-win Texans, and they didn't, manage to do that. So, playing their best players is no guarantee that they would be competitive against a good Cowboys team.
I asked you a question then, because there's this lingering potential hope that Tannehill maybe would suit up in Week 18, depending on the surgery. It sounds like a distant hope, but. Do you put Malik Willis out there? I know he needs as many snaps as possible,
yes.
But if you lost him, what are you doing in Week 18? Like you literally,
Josh
like
Dobbs.
Why not protect like your start, your potentially only healthy starting quarterback?
Things are kind of FUBAR already.
Yeah,
it's just like
I get
at this
it, but
point
it's like,
he needs those reps.
Yeah. He definitely
that's what they're
needs
hinging
the reps.
On. Like they have to get him those reps.
Well, and Vrabel said like his answer about Malik Willis was, I think he's getting better. Like, Vrabel's just sitting here being like, I don't know what's going on at this point.
He's emotionally probably pretty beat up.
They need to come up with a game plan for Week 18 or centered around Willis's strengths, his running. I thought you were a little hard on him, Gravedigger, saying he hasn't shown as much running. I mean, he had a couple great runs
in that
game.
He had two really good runs, but he also doesn't show, like, the feel for when to take off and when he can beat a guy around the edge.
I think they're telling him to throw the ball,
I think
not
they are
be
too.
Scrambling, and that's part of it.
And just in case you're curious, right now, and this could move considerably considering we don't know the status of several of these Tennessee regulars, Dallas is already a double-digit favorite here. So this game, and you think about their situation where they still have an outside shot at taking the NFC East, they put a little pressure on the Eagles if they spank the Titans, already put that 12th win in their bank, and all of a sudden the Eagles might not have Jalen Hurts on the field against the Saints, and it gets a little bit interesting with Gardner Minshew on the field.
I'm finally in my fantasy league championship, and Derrick Henry is my star player. So, not exciting. I beat my son, Greg. I know typically that's good. He always whoops me.
Does it feel better to beat him, or is it bittersweet to defeat him?
No, it feels great.
Okay.
Sure.
And I love the kid, but he talks a lot of smack, so it felt good to get over the hump.
Yeah. How about the Henry fumbles, too? That's hurting your fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that turned that game around.
It is like a Murphy's Law situation for the Titans right now. They've needed him to be like at his very best, and Henry has not either. So the Cowboys, it's one of those a little bit of a gift from the football gods, but they still got to go take care of business.
Kind of a gift to get for either team a longer break before Week 18 too.
They need to work on some of their defensive pieces. They haven't been the same lately. I think they'll be excited to play this Titans offensive line. Parsons can rack up some sacks for like defensive player of the year. Like the secondary, they need a feel good game on defense.
Yeah, they have one sack in the last 3 weeks. The Cowboys do. They were shut out by Philadelphia last week. This does profile with Tennessee's offensive line as a get healthy game where you can maybe get 6 or 7 sacks and everybody's flying high.
I guess it's like the Titans plus are getting like the bottom lead, third of the roster out there.
Get a huge lead, and you can actually insert the guy who pretends he's Dak Prescott in the NFL Pro Era ad this game. That's how
he's
much
the quarterback.
This game.
All right, good stuff. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. Hawk, you've said it all. you've come here. You've launched a company.
Today.
That is provides the first fully licensed NFL virtual reality simulation game. I mean,
that no one else on earth could ever duplicate
Greg
the feat
him.
That you've just
Greg,
accomplished.
Greg thought it was lip service.
Right.
I was like, you're not leaving Game Day View. Nobody leaves
no
Game
one
Day
leaves
View.
No Game Day View and gets out alive. And yet you've done it. So check out NFL Pro Era. What else you got going on? You're going to be at the Chuckle Hut this weekend? Yeah. I feel like you're a very active man. Maybe there's a stand-up special coming out. Tell me.
No stand-up. I got some things coming in 23. I'll come back on and promo those.
Cool.
Focus it in this time.
All right, very good. All right, so Hawk, thank you. Gravedigger, everybody behind the glass, thank you. What do we got coming up this week?
We got Thursday preview.
Thursday preview show. What do you got going on?
I'm doing all the things you're doing. That's essentially, my activity.
Let's talk about your personal life. What's going on?
We're not going to dig into that right now.
That cat's getting a lot of buzz on YouTube.
Check out the Power Rankings, the Power Rankings podcast with Connie Fox and myself. Check out the QB Index, Greggy's game picks, Hawk's game. Oh, man. There's a lot cooking. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.